this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Wednesday, 6 March, year of our Lord, 2024. Thank you for the second hour of our late afternoon, early evening show here. I brought a couple of guys. I really respect their judgment in this area. You know, this week we got through Super Tuesday. Of course, the previous hour we talked about a lot of the analytics coming out of that. But we're already in the middle and confronted with this debacle of the federal budget, which not one penny's been cut. In fact, they're mocking Johnson right now that, no, he didn't have any cuts. It's actually $30 billion higher. When you really look at it on a real base, $30 billion higher than Pelosi's budget, which is predicated upon. And they're already talking about, well, we'll get him next time. We're going to get him in the 25, I think the 25 budget they're talking about. It's obviously not good enough, and it's a disaster. It's going to lead to more disasters financially. Right now, the Bank of America backs us up because they came out with a report a couple of days ago. It backs up what we've been saying here in the War Room for 6 months, that we're adding another $1 trillion to U.S. to the overall face amount of the debt every 100 days. It's not even close to being sustainable. I want to start with Kevin. We got Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter from Economic War Room. Guys, thank you. I want to start off just overall, Kevin. Give us your overall perspective of where we are, particularly with the House of Cards. Of China is finally starting to collapse, given their commercial real estate and the smoke and mirrors of their banking system. Give us the big picture here before I go to Mike and ask him about the budget and what's happening there.
Yeah, well, Steve, you said it best. It's unsustainable. The current situation that we have with adding $1 trillion every 100 days is impossible to sustain. We have $34.5 trillion, our interest only. And frankly, the interest and what we guarantee that we'll pay in Social Security and Medicare is now exceeding the total tax receipts. That means you could shut down all of Washington, the Defense Department, every government agency, and just pay what we promised to pay, that alone, including the interest, and you exceed what we're taking in. But this is not coincidence. I wrote a book a few years ago called According to Plan, and we're watching it play out. I just interviewed David Webb, the author of the book The Great Taking, and we talked about how the central banks will use this as an opportunity to take over everything so that by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy only because you're not so deeply in debt. They reset the system and they own everything and you're just a serf on their plantation.
Walk me through, just do the general math. Tax revenues, well, they had hoped it had been $5 trillion. It came out light, as we predicted last year. I think a $4.4 trillion, they had a $600 billion miss. But you're saying if you add up Social Security, Medicare, and I guess parts of Medicaid, and the interest on the debt, that gets
you're
you
right
at,
there.
You're over $5 trillion right there. You're right there. You're at $5 trillion.
You're right there. You're in excess or equal or in excess to everything we take in. So if Johnson, everything the government does, they could shut everything down and we will be still spending as much money as we take in. There's no margin here, at all whatsoever.
And the fact that we'll never pay down a penny of the face amount of the debt. So, Mike Carter, how does that leave us? Now that you got $35 trillion of debt, you're adding another trillion every 100 days. Just the refinancing, it almost gets beyond where the Fed it sets their interest rates, because just refinancing a third of that debt, which is essentially what happens every year, it just drives in added cost of capital that goes through the entire system. So how do we break this?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're focused on here in the Economic War Room and our Solution to Action Tank is legislation that helps people to focus on how do they handle a hedge against inflation? How do they get prepared for some of these economic threats that are out there? And we are facilitating now legislation in 25 states that allows people to take part of what they make, put in a bullion depository. We have a Texas bullion depository here. In fact, we just had a proposition on the ballot yesterday, which got over 76% that said they wanted to authorize the comptroller to be able to take that gold and make it transactional, gold, silver, and legal tender in Texas. And we got other states doing that same thing right now. So that's one of the biggest hedges we see out there in terms of your audience and the audience members
Mike,
we hear.
Mike, hang on. Let me just make sure I understand that. You're saying, are you going back to actually a you're not going back to a gold-backed security. You're actually going back to gold itself or silver or precious metals and being able to use those in actual daily transactions?
Exactly right. And it's happening in multiple states right now. We have legislation being drafted. We're on committees. We're meeting with treasurers out there. Kevin can talk more about it and what he highlights that in his book, Pirate Money. Under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, states can have their own legal tender as long as it's backed by silver and gold. What we're doing is making that easy now through modern technology, electronic technology, getting states to authorize legal and gold as silver and gold as legal tender, and being able to transact in that with a debit card. This would be backed and supported by the states, and it's an exciting real-world solution to some of these economic events that we were just talking about.
Is your point is that we talk about gold's at an all-time high right now, but on the converse, what the BRICS nations see is that the purchasing power of the dollar is being destroyed. It's being destroyed by these madmen up here in Capitol Hill because you just can't keep – you can't do $1 trillion every 100
exactly.
days. We understand that the way to do that, you have to monetize the debt. You can't sell enough bonds. You can't raise rates enough because you raise the rates enough to sell more bonds. It drives the refinancing of your other debt so high it just destroys your economy. So you have to monetize it, monetize the debt, which is essentially get – the people to pay for it, you know, Treasury and Fed work in conjunction. This is one of the reasons they're trying to keep, they're working in conjunction to keep the Biden regime in there. Your point is that you're going to have to come to something like this if you just don't want to have a decreased purchasing power of your dollar?
Yeah, we've seen the dollar lose 87% of its value since 1971 when we went off the gold standard. And so we've got so much debt federally wise that the country can't afford to go back to a gold and silver standard right now. But states can do it. And states are authorized to do that in Article 1, Section 10. And so what we've been doing is helping to facilitate that legislation in multiple states across the country. Of the 25, I don't think we're going to get it passed in all of them. But I think there's a good chance we'll get one, two, maybe three this year. Others are doing study bills that can see the opportunity to be able to make
where
legal
do you think,
tender.
Where do you think you're most advanced in Texas?
Well, in Texas, we've already got a bullion depository built here, which is good news. All we got to do is attach the ATM or the debit card to that. We just had a proposition on the ballot the other day that got, I saw one county, 82% people wanted to authorize our controller to make this gold legal tender that's sitting in the bullion depository and make it transactional. I think across the state, it's over 76% right now. This is something that people want. People are demanding. I was in D.C. the other day. I took an Uber ride from my hotel to the airport. And I said, hey, maybe next time I'm here, I can pay you in gold. And I explained transactional gold and attaching a debit card to a state-based legal tender currency. The guy would not let me out of the cab, let me out of the car at the airport.
No. The Uber. What are you talking about? The Uber guys will be all over that. They're finally getting paid right. Hang on. Before I go back to Kevin, I just ask you one thing. While you're working on this legislation and trying to get the bullion and the silver and all that, so people are transacting, correct me if I'm wrong, brother. But our Federal Reserve has a different take on things. Aren't they spending all their time working on a central bank digital currency? I mean, their point of view is the exact opposite of the war room and economic war room and Carter and Freeman, right? They're not interested in transactional gold. They're interested in central bank digital currency.
Absolutely right. And this is the solution to that. You know, when I hear people say you will eat bugs and like it, I want to be able to pull out my Texas debit card, my Texas transactional gold or silver, and be able to buy my steak. This is the solution that decentralizes and gets power away from the Fed to where they are going to be controlling everything through social credit scores, whatever else case might be out there, and gives individual Americans an option an option for another way to pay that's backed by gold and silver, that's going to hold its value, that's constitutional, and the technology is out there to do today to make that easy to happen. And it's going to enable people that have not been able to buy gold to be able to buy gold, because you can buy small amounts of it. But we see, you know, our audience, your audience, they have gold at home. That category is going to get bigger and be bigger. People are going to have gold at home that they store and have on hand and they want to have, which is a good thing. We also want to make some of that transactional so they can go to the convenience store, they can buy their gas, they can go to the grocery store, and they got a stable store of value. They don't have to worry about inflation, and they've got something that they know is going to hold its value.
Kevin, when you go around and talk, the fractional banking crowd, I assume, are not big fans of this. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
It is, Steve. If you're a big bank, you're not going to be a fan of this. But if you're a small bank, you realize the writing's on the wall. They're going to crush you. So we talked to bankers in Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas and other places where they say, if we have a CBDC, we're out of business. They don't need us anymore. So small banks are in favor of what we're talking about. The key has been getting people to read the book Pirate Money. It's a history. It talks about money where it was originally created. Here's a continental note that was supposedly backed by gold and silver, but actually wasn't. Here's, you know, the first Federal Reserve note from shortly after 1913, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Bottom line is we've centralized everything, and small banks realize that's not good for America, and it's certainly not good for them. So some of the banks, many of the small banks, are big time in favor of transactional gold and silver. Can you imagine if there's a run on your bank, and instead when you pick up your phone, you don't transfer your money out to JP Morgan Chase, you move it to your gold wallet in the same bank. So you keep the money in the bank, you just keep it in the form of gold rather than U.S. dollars. Which, by the way, the early banks in the American system, they all had multiple currencies. They'll have Spanish mill dollars, which were silver. They'd have gold doubloons. They'd have U.S. currency. They deal with a lot of different currencies. And so small banks are getting it, and they're jumping on board with this. They do not want to see the great taking take away their business opportunity.
Now, you are subject to the fluctuations in the price. Let's just take gold versus silver. You're subject to the fluctuations in the prices. But what you're, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you're immune from is this continual essential devaluation or the drop in purchasing power, which I think has been 17 or 18% since the Biden regime has come on. That you would hermetically seal yourself from that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And yes, gold and silver fluctuate, and people should have a choice. They don't have to put everything in gold or silver. But the dollar fluctuates, too. Just go to the gas pump today and think about what you paid last week and what you'll pay next week. The dollar's fluctuating all the time. And gold and silver fluctuate in relation to the dollar, but their purchasing power has been maintained. You could use a $20 gold piece in 1924, 100 years ago, and you could buy a fine man's suit. That same $20 gold piece is going to be worth $2,150, $2,200 today. You can buy a pretty nice suit for that today. Probably shoes, tie, a shirt. You might have change left over. Bottom line is gold and silver, over the long term, preserve their purchasing power. And you can look at pricedingold.com, and you can see at pricedingold.com what you would pay for a house, you know, in the 1970s, maybe $20,000, $25,000, $30,000. The same amount of gold that would buy a house then, today, might buy at least one house, and in some cases, in some markets, two houses. So gold and silver, over the long term, maintain their purchasing power, even if they fluctuate short term.
Kevin, what is the state that you're farthest down the road in actually accepting this?
Well, we've got active legislation in Kansas. We're looking in Tennessee. We're looking in Louisiana. A lot of states are looking at it. Some of them have passed already. Utah passed a study bill. So we'll come back next session and we'll get this passed. We hope for a study bill. I think gold and silver is legal tender in Florida and other places where the leadership has said, now hold on, this has been very fast. We're just learning about it. So we'll put in a study bill. We have not found anyone who's outright rejected the idea. Democrats, Republicans, they both love this. In fact, when we were talking in Austin, the Democrats were thrilled because, you know, the average working person that got $1,000 in savings, they can't put it in gold today. They can't buy one of these, which is a gold doubloon, and then hold it. Because what if I need to spend it tomorrow? But if you attach the debit card, like Mike talked about, you can easily spend your gold. You can buy the shoes your kid needs or the new washing machine or whatever. So this opens up what we call economic justice. I wrote a whole chapter on that in the book, Pirate Money.
Where do people go to get the book? That might be a good primer. Where do they go to get that?
PirateMoneyBook.com, and then it'll take you to Amazon, or if you don't like Amazon, you can go other places. It's print on demand at Amazon. They can have it to you tomorrow if you want it. But PirateMoneyBook.com has all of the endorsements, you know, people like Ben Carson and Dick Uihlein and Nick Vujicic and Naomi Wolf and others who've endorsed the concept. Once people read the book, they understand what we're talking about, and then they get on board. That's how we got legislation active in 25 different states. Legislators read the book, and they started calling us from West Virginia and Kansas and Missouri and Alaska and said, how do we get this started? And then we provide resources to help them at transactionalgold.com.
I want to go to Mike. Hang on for a second. Mike, how do we stop? What should this audience do? What's the call to action to make sure that our voices are heard on shutting down the central bank digital currency?
Well, we're focused primarily on how do we get this legislation in as many states as possible out there. And one of the things we're seeing success is we're having treasurers call us and saying, why do I keep getting these books pirate money sent to me? And what is this thing about? And then we get legislators saying, hey, I want to help get this done in my state. The message right now is to understand that this is here. It's constitutional. The technology is there to make this thing happen. And this is the only thing we've got to stop against the CBDC threat. I will say this, the states that get behind this, those that get behind it early on, this is going to open up. They have the opportunity to be the gold capital of the world. You will see economic benefits in that state like crazy because money's going to flow from other countries there. People are looking at the digital back China yuan and saying, I don't trust that. They're looking at the dollar and saying, I'm a little uneasy about that debt at $1 trillion every 100 days. And if I had Texas and a gold back currency that's legal tender, I'm interested in that. I'm going to put money into that. So the key is continue to build awareness.
Is this why Florida didn't already come out under DeSantis and say that he will not allow the central bank digital currency, the Federal Reserve central bank digital currency, to be issued in the state of Florida or used in the state of Florida?
Yes, we've seen that, and that's good. But we've seen also, as Kevin's talked before in his show, you know, the federal government used to have a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit for those that are old enough to remember the inflation in the 70s back there. And states said, I'm not going to enforce that, until they said, well, you're not going to get our federal money. And so it doesn't have a lot of weight behind it, but in principle, it's right.
Got it.
This is the solution that has the weight behind it. That's the real solution that can give people economic liberty today. And now it's a matter of getting those one or two states across the finish line. And I think you're going to see probably 10, 15, 20 other states coming closely behind that.
Kevin, go back into off of Mike's point. You're working on trying to get these, and you need a couple to fall in line. Then they'll see the economic benefits, and everybody will fall in line. Walk me in the process, a study bill. These study bills, what does that entail, and what will the studies entail?
Well, a perfect example of that's Utah. The treasurer is Marlo Oakes. He's a very aggressive conservative treasurer. So he said natural asset companies, no, and he got out there. He will be given the ability to study this. We've sat down with Marlo Oakes and his deputy treasurer, Kurt, and they love this. They realize that it's constitutional, and they realize that the technology exists. Basically, all they have to do is pass it in the legislature and then pick which among the competitive technologies and the sourcing point for the gold and silver. No state has to own gold and silver to make this happen. They just have to make it possible for individuals to buy the gold and silver and store it in a legitimate depository where they can recognize how much is there, and then they can allocate that gold so that an individual says, I bought 2 ounces of gold, now I want to purchase with 0.1 ounce, which about $200, right, into 200 and some dollars, and they can go into a grocery store, tap that debit card, and with that they can buy, you know, their groceries. And they know that once the grocery stores figure this out, that they can receive gold instead of U.S. dollars, that's what they're going to want. So the study's just going to confirm everything we've written in the book, Pirate Money. It's totally constitutional. Supreme Court decisions back it. The technology exists, and it can be operational in a very short period of time in any state that's willing to pursue it.
Kevin, where do people go once again? Where do they go to get your show, all your social media, and the book?
EconomicWarRoom.com is where you go to get the show. PirateMoneyBook.com is where you get the book.
Fantastic. Mike Carter, same. Where do people go to get your content and where they go to get your social media?
Absolutely. If they go to TransactionalGold.com, you'll see states that are in process right now. There's a scorecard there of kind of what's going on. There's frequently asked questions. I would encourage everybody to take a look at that, get up to speed. If they're interested, get the book, talk to the legislators. If it's not this year, make sure they start working it for next year, because this is critical, as we see with the debt that we're headed down. And this is the real solution, and we can make it happen.
And I got to tell you, you've got a great fighter on your team. That treasurer controller out in Utah, he was the key. I think he was one of the key people working with the team that took down the natural asset companies, where they tried to roll in so the federal government and maybe the CCP, others, could just grab the natural resources in the country. He did an amazing job and got Wall Street to fully stop that. So if a guy, people of that quality, Kevin and Mike, are on this, good things are going to happen. So thank you guys very much for coming on here and explaining. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you for having us.
It's a kind of outside-the-box thinking that we need more of. And here's the thing. Here's the reason you need more of it. It's such a brazen up in your grill disaster. We fully understand how Mike Johnson got the job and how the people around him got the job, right? And Kevin, we understand that Kevin McCarthy and these guys cut a terrible deal. It was an awful deal. Remember, 2 years, and McCarthy gave him the second year, no caps on deficits, no caps on spending, and push it past the 24 election so it wouldn't become part of the national debate. The donors wanted that because the donors didn't want the people looking around saying, well, hey, maybe part of the solution is increasing taxes on the wealthy. They didn't want that. Given all that, there were many leverage points you could come here. And number one, just not about the cuts in the spending and policy wins, but in this situation, actually forcing, and remember, audience, Johnson does not have the ability to close the border, but he's got the ability to withhold the money to run the government until they close the border. And he would have forced Biden to do that, or make in front of everyone, like Biden going to talk to the State of the Union, exactly what the stakes are and what's happening, and be able to articulate that every day you come to the sticks. In particular, with Lakin Riley and these other young women and children are being murdered by illegal alien invaders, it would become a even bigger national story. That was the option. And in not doing that, you've baked in now a mentality that we're accepting the premise of the McCarthy debt deal. And you're assuming that it's just the natural order of things, and just nothing you do to stop it. That's just not true. To stop it's not easy. To stop it's not pleasant. To stop it is going to take a fight and toughness and steely resolve, because the media is going to come after you and paint it in a totally different light. You're going to have to go in and pound it every day and articulate your point. But you do have the technical and legal points of leverage that you need. You are consciously choosing not to do that. Now they're saying, oh, we're really going to put the effort into the appropriations bill next time. It's not good enough. And therefore, the Kevin Freemans of the world and Mike Carters and others that are working on various alternatives, you know, all of a sudden start to make sense. This is why, and I was never a gold bug. I kind of understand now that I've gotten a deeper understanding about what happened after Nixon took us off the gold standard or converting our currency to gold. What happened? You see all the negative things that happened. That was really the beginning of the financialization of the economy. We were a manufacturing powerhouse at that time, and we're not a manufacturing powerhouse today. We're a manufacturing powerhouse at the time. And one of the things it did, it led to the financialization of the country to the detriment of workers. And over time, more returns went to capital than more returns went to labor, to your work. And that is something that has plagued us to this very day, and it's only getting worse. The concentration of wealth is only getting worse. And under Biden, it's gotten extreme. Obama and Biden is when it got absolutely extreme. The only time it happened under President Trump was when we got hit by a Chinese bioweapon, and he had to take some emergency measures kind of make sure we took care of aggregate demand, the drop in aggregate demand by passing the big stimulus bill. So I was not a gold bug, but gold's at an all-time high. And one of the reasons all-time high is the convergence of geopolitical and economic forces we talk about every day in the show. And that's why we want you to go to Birch Gold. And we just keep telling you, we're giving you access to people that have a deep understanding. One of the things Birch Gold did when we first partnered him, I said, hey, let's get people up to speed on what the dollar is as prime reserve currency. What is prime reserve currency? Why is it so important? Why is the dollar so important throughout the world? People, I don't think, really understand it. They don't understand how their own financial and economic life is predicated upon a stable dollar, of which we don't have a stable dollar right now. Let's explain that. We did that in a four-part series. We're adding the fifth part, and it's about this very issue of central bank digital currency. How can you have a Federal Reserve that sits and works with the Treasury hand in glove to kind of monetize the debt to what we call printing money? Because you can't sell the bonds, you'd have to jack up the interest rates too much. And not just that, people have a limited take of how much they can take, the Chinese and the Japanese, in the insurance companies. You just print it. So you're creating more fiat currency all the time. Yet they're working nonstop on the central bank digital currency. It makes no sense. The central bank digital currency, it makes no sense. But go to birchgold.com/banner right now. You got Philip Packer, entire team. You got the End of the Dollar Empire, four parts, totally free. Just takes you to order it and then to read it and study it. Okay, short commercial break. We're going to be back in the war room in a moment.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act.
This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
I want to bring in Karen Siegman from Americans Freedom Alliance. Before I get, you've got a special coming up on Saturday, I think it is, and I want to make sure everybody knows about it, particularly in the greater Los Angeles area. But you were at CPAC. You had the great two-hour takedown the CCP. I was honored to kind of give closing remarks to that. But you were there for all of CPAC. Give us your sense. You put on a lot of these conferences over the years. Your sense of CPAC, and then maybe how that rolled into last night across the nation on Super Tuesday.
Thanks so much, Steve. Yes, I was at CPAC, and we did hold an astounding two-hour breakout session, World War Z, that was a follow-on to our World War III event that we had done last year. You keynoted that. You keynoted this one also, and we had many of the same players, Frank Gaffney, Brian Kennedy, John Mills, Gordon Chang, Brad Thayer, and Reggie Littlejohn, and others, and it was just astounding. We tried to do in two hours what we did in 2 days, but I think we really made the point that the Chinese Communist Party is a gigantic threat to us. As far as CPAC goes, I thought the energy was absolutely tremendous. I was there last year, and I hadn't been for some time prior to COVID, but I was really heartened by the energy, generally speaking, at CPAC this year. Clearly, the War Room and Real America's Voice was a focal point. You're opening the entire event with your four and a half hour force multiplier event was just absolute. That just kicked the whole thing off with tremendous energy. President Trump was stupendous, of course, and your closing remarks also just launched us into action, 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 and everything in between was outstanding. And I also really like the theme for CPAC this year, where globalism goes to die. And as you know, I'm part of the Sovereignty Coalition with Frank Gaffney, Reggie Littlejohn, and the rest. And we are all about sovereignty, and And the whole message of where globalism goes to die was just exactly perfect. So the entire event with all the speakers, it was, I came home completely energized and heartened. And as to how did this tie into yesterday, I would say 100%. The energy that we saw at CPAC was very evident in the turnout all across the country yesterday.
You're part of also the LA GOP. We've spent a lot of time today on Texas because we think, first of all, it was just amazingly important.
Yeah.
Of trying to thwart the Bush apparatus from taking it back over. But also we use it as an example for places like Ohio and Florida and others that are huge MAGA, but still has a major establishment influence over the party and the direction of how to use the lessons from that grassroots to go. California is different because you're almost like a different country in a radical country, given how the progressive Democrats kind of control the state. Given that the leading vote getter in the Senate run yesterday was Steve Garvey. What has happened in California? Are there any green shoots that people can actually embrace, that we're making some progress in turning that around?
Absolutely. I think that's a great expression for it. I think there's so much hope. We're all just kind of reeling from so much great news that Steve Garvey did so incredibly well. We have a lot of candidates who advanced and give us hope. Steve Garvey, of course, is one of them. The tremendous turnout for Donald Trump, of course, is another. We've got a great candidate. I think he's in second place, Nate Hochman, who's coming up against Gascon in Los Angeles, that's going to be quite a contest. We've got to get rid of Gascon. So there's a lot of little shining lights, I think, that we can cling to for hope as we move forward. And certainly what happened with Steve Garvey is one of them.
By the way, Trump talks about this all the time. As far as just absolute votes, California may arguably have more MAGA than anybody, right? I understand it's got a 40 million population, but there's 6.5 or 7 million confirmed MAGA voters in the state. Is my number correct there? Because Trump talks about it all the time.
Yeah, and the LA County Republican Party is the biggest county Republican party in the entire country. We have more registered Republicans than anywhere else. Yes, we are outnumbered, obviously, but we do have a huge force here, and they, you know, what percentage of them are MAGA? I would say far more than one would expect. And the energy here also is tremendous. Obviously, we've had a mass exodus, people going to Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Idaho, various places. Every red drop that leaves puts us at a greater disadvantage. But still, the energy here, the power, you know, we are behind enemy lines. And I think what that does is it creates a certain, definitely a different kind of energy, a passion of an entirely different kind when you feel it's really existential for us here. And you said we're another country. We most certainly are another country here. But we are warriors, I have to say. We are tested. We live under all kinds of it's not easy to be red here. It's not easy to be MAGA here. But yesterday showed that there's a lot of us and a lot of energy behind it.
A lot of energy and a lot of hope. You're also always cutting edge about audiences we have to tap into and people we have to empower. Talk about your conference over the weekend. Our own Jane Zirkle is going to participate. But walk me through the conference.
Yes, thanks. This is the second of our three-part series. You know, last year we did World War III, the early years, and we were talking mostly about national security issues, China in particular, but other things as well. And then we followed that with this series. It was originally going to be just one, and I had mentally titled it The War on Practically Everybody, because in the final analysis, yes, there are national security issues. Yes, there's political warfare, but there's also a deep cultural, spiritual, all kinds of rot and attacks that are being waged on us every day, every minute, every hour. So even if you're not particularly aware of what's going on with China, China is very aware of what's going on with you. And the left is very aware of what's going on with you. And they have planted seeds that have grown to such unbelievable tentacles throughout our culture, throughout our schools, our media. So it became too big for one conference, and I broke it up into three. Last month, we had the war on men, which is the war on masculinity, right? Boys are told they're imperfect girls, the whole notion of toxic masculinity, the idea of risk-taking and adventurism. None of this stuff is allowed anymore. Everything to do with men and masculinity is tamped down. Fathers have been denigrated for decades and decades. So we had a phenomenal conference on that, including all those aspects, but including the effect that it has on our warfighting ability and what it's doing to our military. This one that we have on Sunday, it'll be Sunday, March 10th, just coming up, is the counterpart. It's the war on women. And no, we are not talking about what the patriarchy is doing to us. That's just a great big lie. It's much more the war that feminism has been doing to us, the war that Marxism has been doing, because feminism has in fact been a Marxist line of effort. The war on femininity, the war on mothers, not just by the legal system, but certainly by the government. So to address all of these, we're just so thrilled. We have Riley Gaines, the swimmer, who's just absolutely stupendous. What an amazing hero she is, standing up against the trans agenda, standing up for girls, for women in sports, and standing up for free speech generally. We have opening with Kimberly Fletcher, president and founder of Moms for America, another complete dynamo. Zee Van Fleet, cannot be more excited about. She's just tremendous. She talks about as she just had an amazing interview with Tucker, the two cultural revolutions, one of them Mao's and the other one here. Who would have thought that we're following Mao's game plan? But in fact, we are. So she'll be talking about that. So that kind of Marxism, the effect on women. Noni Darwish, a great friend, marvelous expert on Islam. She'll be comparing how Islam and the left use and exploit women for their agenda. Why did we bring her in right now? Because of what's happening in Israel. That's a huge piece of what's happening in Israel. We have Steve Coughlin talking to us about how all of this, as I said, is a communist, Marxist line of effort. The notion of feminism was brought in to undermine women, men, families, children, culture. All of this is the war on all of us. And then, of course, we have Jane Zirkel, who I've been admiring for a long time. And then when she said at your Force Multiplier event, she just came right out and said, there's a war on women. And she just is in the middle of completing a book, Femininity is Your Superpower. I thought, oh, we've absolutely got to bring her in, because that is one of the main aspects of this war. And I think what we need to realize, as I sort of brushed on, it's not just a war on men, it's not just a war on women, it's a war on each of us as individuals, it's a war on values, on morality, it's a war on freedoms, and it's also, and this is really important, it's a war on truth. And so we're very excited about addressing all of this on Sunday. And then the following month, we will have another conference culminating this. And this is extremely, just such a difficult topic, but as you know, such an important one, the war on children. And we have a great lineup for that too. Christopher Rufo being one of them. But this Sunday in Santa Monica, we're going to have just an amazing event. Just each one of these speakers, five women, and then Steve Coughlin will be talking about such important aspects of what is happening to each of us every day. We hear about women, young women, young men, they're not even thinking about getting married. Nobody's talking about having children. All of this is some of the consequences of the wars that have been waged against us.
What you were a one of the leaders, fighter in the Cold War effort. Walk me through the Marxist solutions on economics didn't work. Marx was a terrible economist, but he had a very he had a very strong take on history and sociology. Is this just the Marxist revolution that we've fought really since the French Revolution, but in the 20th century since the Bolsheviks? Is this simply the non-economic part coming after the family, men, women, children? Is that what we're seeing here? Is that, as you break it down, is this a neo-Marxist fight against the Judeo-Christian West and its most valued kind of social structures, the family?
Absolutely. The family is, as they've always known, the bulwark against totalitarianism, totalitarian takeover. As you noted, Marxism, the economic piece didn't work. His exhortation to the workers of the world to unite, cast off your chains, obviously didn't work. The middle class was pretty happy growing, and capitalism was all a good thing. And so they pivoted to their long march through the institutions, the left's long march, which I have said, and we actually had a conference on this, it's revolution by other means. Exactly. Analogous to China's unrestricted warfare. The best kind of war is when you don't even have to fire, you win without firing a shot. And I would contend that this is exactly that. They go for your weakest institutions, your weakest points, and undermine them. How do you undermine the family? You go after men and say that they're toxic, and that fathers are a bad, at least superfluous, if not an evil thing. Women should be more like men, so you're destroying femininity, and in the process, you're also destroying men. Then you take the trans agenda going after women, so now you're destroying women's abilities to move forward. You have Supreme Court justice nominees saying they cannot even say what a woman is because they're not a biologist. I mean, this is just the breakdown of everything. It's the breakdown of men, of women, of science, of logic, as I said, of truth, of our understanding of the world. And it, in large part, yes, it's the war against men, children, and all of that, but it's also, and the trans agenda is a big part of this, it's to impose a kind of derangement on us. You mentioned Judeo-Christian values, Western civilization. Those are all predicated on a set of standards, of values, of morals, of a code, of a book, of the word. Once you undermine all of that, and I would say that saying you can't define what a woman is unless you're a bi, you've just destroyed the very notion of there being a reality that's actually real. You've just cast that completely aside. When we are forced to say that a man is a woman, again, as in the case of Riley Gaines and so on, you're forcing people to say things that they know are not true. And you're either making them believe things that they know are true or making them say it. At a certain point, it doesn't really matter. You are undermining a value system and a code of truth and science on which everything that we know and prosper from is predicated. Judeo-Christian values depend on being able to inquire, and you have a standard and a code of conduct. Western civilization is all about inquiry and skepticism and science and proving and truth. Undermining that, and I would also say everything to do with COVID was part of destroying all of that. So we are living in a time when they are trying to just make us awash in utter chaos. The chaos is civilizational with the border. It's chaos with fentanyl. It's chaos with our children. It's chaos in the family. It's chaos in our brains. And this is one reason I think what you do, Steve, is so incredibly valuable. You just draw that line through all the noise right to the signal while they're trying to swamp all of us with noise every day. It's chaos everywhere. It's chaos in our brains. And so Yes, is this part of the Marxist line of attack? Absolutely. And our effort with these conferences is to get people sort of on track again and feeling confident that there is, in fact, such a track, that you can say men are good, masculinity is good, fathers are good, women are good, girls are good, children need to be left alone, and to be confident and bold in those assertions in the face of all the insanity that they're bombarding us with.
Where do they go? One more time, Karen, where do they go to find out about this conference? Are you going to live stream it?
I am not sure. We will be talking about that.
Okay.
Right now, it's not.
Where do people go to get tickets?
AmericanFreedomAlliance.org has the link. And from there, you can go ahead and get a ticket. Or many. And actually, we created a code War Room for 30% discount for tickets.
Perfect. So go to War Room. What's your social media?
On Twitter, we're AF Alliance. On Getter, American Freedom Alliance. YouTube, Rumble, American Freedom Alliance. Facebook, we're just generally speaking, American Freedom Alliance. And I urge people to go to our Rumble and YouTube channels for the great content that we have.
Karen, thank you so much for being on here. Great work. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Steve. Thanks.
This Sunday, our own Jane Zirkle. We'll make sure we push it out strongly. By the way, the family and the currency, that's the neo-Marxist attack. This is why it's so important to go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Make sure you go there and talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Particularly this week as we get into it, you're going to pass a budget. It's going to have a massive, you know, they're going to do it two steps at a time. But they've already waved off shutting down the government if they didn't shut down the border. They've kind of given up on that promise. Although I kind of remember Johnson saying that. Well, maybe it's just me. But go to birchgold.com/Bannon right now to get into the dollar empire totally free. Also, talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Jim Rickards, we're going to try to get Rickards on here on Friday to give us his thoughts on the State of the Union and what happened today in or what happened last night on Super Tuesday and the fallout from that. Make sure you go to rickardswarroom.com. Rickardswarroom.com. There you can get the specials on strategic intelligence. That's the newsletter he puts out every month. If you like geopolitics, capital markets, all of it, it's right there. Rickardswarroom.com. That's all one word. Rickardswarroom.com. You get all the information. And remember, do not fear. If you've got some, if you're behind your taxes, you haven't filed, it's a process. Tax Network USA are the folks to work you through the process. Just go check it out, tnusa.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. Talk to the experts. Do not fear. Don't get worked up. We got enough fight ahead of us. We don't need you worked up on something. It's just process. So go check it out today. Lou Dobbs is next. We are back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then in the War Room. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E. JaceMedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical. That's one word, JaceMedical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action. .com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.